5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Bill likes to call himself Mr. September.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I've got 2 days left before old Mr. September steps out.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, yes, Bill.
Yeah.
Out comes the sun, up comes the grass, and we feel better about ourselves.
We do, Jim.
Because the finals are on their way. Now, today, in here, it's Mel Hickey.
Mel.
Marquee player for Melbourne in the AFLW star.
Looking forward
to chatting to Mel. Of course, we find out more about what you're doing to get yourself ready for the BMW Caulfield Cup Carnival.
Stand by.
And then a quiz second hour that will sit our punters right on their freckle. Because these tickets, Bill, not available.
You can't buy them, Jim.
Anywhere. Dump. And then midweek rub, of course, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett. Yes, please. Hello, Bill.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day you, Leroy.
Nice haircut, Bill. Looking good.
Oh, where'd you get that from?
That's Siri.
Siri.
And you got a haircut.
I was down there.
The two of you have had your haircut.
Yeah, Leroy was down there. We're down at Edward Scissorhands downstairs. Sammy's the man to see in there, Jim.
Come on,
his wife. They do a good job.
Mm.
Did you get your beard all trimmed?
Did
you get your beard all trimmed?
I did. I look very sharp now, don't I?
Yours wouldn't take long.
No.
What, my beard?
No, your head.
No, it doesn't. It just gets the number one, Jim, straight over the top.
And then, so about 4 or 5 seconds later, you're out.
I could have a frothy and it was only half full. I couldn't finish it all. Some footy news for you, Jimmy boy.
Give it to me.
Brad Scott has announced that he'll coach North Melbourne for another 2 years.
That's very good.
Very good, yes.
I tell you, Bill, people don't understand. Good in elite AFL coaches are not easy to find.
That's right.
So when you have one, you don't let him go anywhere. It's a very good decision.
And no, he didn't look elsewhere, he said.
Well, this is, again, Bill, I always say to everyone who cares to listen, and I don't need to tell you this because you know it through his brother, the Scott boys are too honest for this industry.
And loyal and honest.
They just tell the truth and then no one believes them. I mean, he kept saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to look at what's in front of me, which he has, and he said yes. And anyway, people keep reading other stuff into it. But he is a very, very good man and a very good operator, and I'm very pleased he's staying at the club for
You'd
2 years.
You'd love to land Dusty or Josh Kelly, wouldn't
Be
you?
Be great.
If you don't get those two, it's just a new rebuild, isn't it?
Well, you've got
total rebuild.
They've got the war chest is sitting there, so there's lots of room to move within that.
Tickets, public tickets, Jim, for next Friday's blockbuster between the Cats and the Tigers are all gone, sold out.
Brilliant.
That is public tickets already, Jim. There'll be 95,000 there.
Oh, minimum. Well, North Melbourne, as we were talking about off air, played an elimination final against Richmond, I reckon, a couple of years ago. It was high 93s that day.
Yeah.
And North are not the Cats when it comes to drawing power. So, Bill,
Jim,
it'd have to be 95.
Can you believe you might be able to win some tickets to that game soon?
I don't believe it.
If you keep listening to the Rush Hour.
We were talking about the quiz. I don't believe it.
Jim, stand by. I'll tell you, son. Tex Walker says, lock me in for the first final. I'm ready to go. Had a bit of a sore toe, okay. We're not sure about Rosa. Of course, had the appendix out, Jim.
Yes.
Star Lines booked for shoulder surgery, Jim. Rockcliffe, he's got to have a whole full shoulder reco.
September hasn't even started.
Oh, I know.
And you're losing your way.
Yeah, Jim. That's good effort by Tom Rockcliffe playing this year without with a sore shoulder.
Right.
And Dane Beams is also going in, Jim.
Beamer.
Decision on the AFLW expansion delayed.
Ooh.
They had a big board meeting down there, the AFL, yesterday at Geelong.
Yes.
So we thought, Geelong might get announced as one of the four teams that are going to go into the AFLW. But no, they've delayed it, Jim. So there's about 8 teams that have asked for a license.
Yep.
There's 8 teams in the comp now. So there's only 2 teams that haven't asked for a license or aren't in the comp.
Okay.
Do you know who they are?
Port Adelaide won.
You won.
And
Sydney.
Sydney. Well, I'm guessing the AFL Commission have said, or the AFL have said, there's only going to be one team out of your market for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
So therefore, why would they bother? If they know that already, then they may as well channel their... time elsewhere.
Yeah, Melissa Hickey will tell us all about that, won't she?
She will.
And Trent Cotchin is not worried too much, he said. We'll just see what Dusty's got to say. But Dusty is back in Melbourne, Jim. Did you see that? He had the bodyguards at the airport. 2 big bodyguards. And Ralph Carr did say that we might have a decision at the end of the week.
Jeez.
It won't be on the footy show.
3 for 171. The Aussies, 94 to win with the big pair at the crease. Yes. Smith and Hanscom. Did you say won't be on the footy show?
No.
That was all the talk.
Well, I did ask my sources in there, and they said, no, we haven't heard anything about it yet. Okay. But maybe
the suspicion was the checkbook was coming out
for a big
one-on-one style.
I think they don't need a checkbook. He just would have come on.
You reckon he just would have?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
No. Back the truck up.
Yeah, no, I reckon he would have too, Bill.
He would have backed the truck.
Yeah, all right. So, well, let's go. A bit of topics next.
Yes, please.
Mel Hickey, back half of this hour. Now, Bill.
Yes.
I'm asking this question today, 133353 style hands.
What are you asking?
What are the rules you live by? And I'm going to tell you why.
Yes.
Because I was there the other day, I pulled a packet of Chewies out of my pocket.
Yep.
And this bloke I'm standing next to, he goes, can I have one of them? I said, yeah, mate, no problem. He goes, that is gold. So you just happen to have a packet of Chewies on you.
Yeah.
I said, mate, I always carry a packet of Chewies. Yeah. It's a rule that I live by, Bill, because bad breath is intolerable.
Yes.
Unacceptable ever.
Well, that's a rule.
Rule, I always have either chewing gum on me or in my brief, the bag
close,
I carry in
by.
Here or in the car.
Yeah.
A must have because inexcusable is bad breath.
Yep.
So that's a rule I live by. Have you got one?
Well, I have quickies close by, Jim.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Fuck it. You need the quickies now and then.
Well, I don't, but you clearly do.
But also, if you're going to have a beer.
Oh, no.
Jim. If you're going to have a froth, it's got to be a Carlton draft.
So you're just wedging
an
ad into our
show. No ad. That is true. I can't drink any other boutiques.
That's an ad. You're just jamming
into
the segment
of our show. No, I can't drink
the
boutique beer. So if you're going to have a beer, it's got to be a Carlton draft.
Well, another rule I live by.
Oh, what else do you live by?
Bill, unless you absolutely have zero other option,
yes.
Never borrow money from your mates.
Ooh.
Never.
Well, that's okay. As long as you pay it back.
No, Bill. Never. Because you never let business and pleasure collide. For me, unless you've got zero option and you've obviously desperately need money and you have to borrow it from a mate, unless it's desperate,
that's true.
Never borrow money from your mates, another rule I live by.
Well, that's the other thing. If you've got a mate that's a painter and you get him to do the job, Jim, and it's not that good.
Never let business and pleasure collide.
That's not a bad point.
But
I don't mind
we're
that.
Not interested now. So
no,
we want
yours.
133353. What are the rules you live your life by? 133353. Ring us now. Always have chewing gum on you, Bill.
Yeah, like a chew.
Inexcusable bad breath.
Yeah.
That's a rule I live my life by, but we're interested in the family's rules.
Yes, please.
Stevie's from Hampton.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, good.
Hello,
thanks.
Bill. How you going? Yeah. I'm here. Sorry, just missed you then.
You're all right, mate. What's your rules?
I've tried to break this rule, but I can't. I always have to have a beer while I'm drinking while I'm cooking a barbecue.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
mate.
Universal, Steve.
It just has to be done. I've tried to break it, but
no, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah, that's spot on.
It's Australian. That's what that is. Reese is in Geelong. Reese.
Reese.
G'day, guys. How you going?
What's your rule, Reese?
Good. No passing wind while you're eating at the dinner table. Wow. Any other time, it's funny. I'm a child and I think it's funny, but when you're strapping on the nose bag, no way known.
Is that for you or the kids?
All above, Bill.
All right, good work.
For me, Reesey, the car's no spot for it either.
No.
As I say, any other time I'm a child, I think it's funny, but not while you're... Not while you're eating.
All right,
done. And the lift, Jim.
Yes. Kylie's in Ferntree Gully. Kyles?
Kyles.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Hey, Kyles, what's your rules?
Please and thank you, never go astray.
Yeah, yes. Nice. We forget about that a lot of times, don't we?
We do.
Hard to get into your kids too, Kyles. I'm at mine all the time.
Yours are good. Yours are all right.
Mine are pretty good.
Yeah, you got to be at them, though. You can't let them off. Every time, did I hear thank you? You just drive. Otherwise, they just forget.
I just don't give it to them.
Yeah, they well said.
And the other thing, Jim, which I've done with my boys, and you, I can see, have done with your boys, shaking hands when you meet someone and
look them in the eye and squeeze their hand.
Yeah, no, that's right.
It's Australian as well.
Exactly.
Shane in Yarrawonga. Hello, Shane.
Shane.
G'day, how you doing?
How are the pigeons going this year?
I couldn't tell you, mate.
Oh, all right.
I thought you
were able. Yeah, all right.
The rule you live your life by, Shane?
Have a shower every day. No need to be a stinky person and bloody share it with everyone in a veranda.
Fair enough.
No, surely everyone showers once a day.
In Australia.
Do you, Leroy?
Yeah. He doesn't often look like it.
No. But Jim, you do at night, don't you?
Minimum two a day. No. Cam's in Pakenham, mate. Cam?
Hey, boys, how you going?
Good, Cam. What do you got?
That's the way. My written, unwritten law is you never stand on anything that is round.
Or anything.
IG, footballs, soccer balls. That's just disaster waiting to happen, mate. Yeah. Something that's round is going to fall out and you're going to go bang!
What about a table?
A table? No, well, depends if it can hold your weight, Bill.
Righto, Cam, okay, I like that. That's an interesting one. That's a different one. Yeah. Leah is in Bentley.
Leah.
Hi, boys.
Hi, Leah.
I'd never work for someone that you're friends with.
Good, and that is a good rule. And it stood you in good stead, Leah?
I got burnt once and I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
No. And you're not friends anymore?
Nope.
No. Bill.
They owe me money. Yeah,
that's...
Never mix business and pleasure. I couldn't agree with you anymore. Andrew's in Geelong. Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, g'day. I live my life by use it or lose it. I've lost a few people unexpectedly lately and I reckon...
Yep. Use it or lose it. Oh, he's out. Yes. Not a bad one, that one, Jim. Use it or lose it.
Yep.
With the many, many things you can...
No, I agree with that. We just lost Andrew there. Another wicket's fallen, by the way. 587 Australia. Bell is in Bentley. Have I got that? Is it Bell?
Boys, how are you? Yeah, Bell.
Hey, Bell.
How you going, guys?
You got three rules.
I have three basic rules I live by, and I think probably everybody should. And they're quite simple. The first one is never argue with an idiot.
Yes.
Because they'll drag you down and beat you with experience.
Yes.
You can't fix stupid. Yep. All right? There's just no way you can get around that, unfortunately. And drive like everyone else is an idiot. And you've got whole life covered.
That's it. Never argue. That's the old Dennis Pagan.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Pretty soon no one can tell the difference.
And drive like everyone else, Jim.
There's a couple of journalists I have that exact relationship with, Bill.
Yeah.
Ari's in Craigieburn. Ari?
Hello, boys.
All right. Your life rule?
Yeah, mate, my wife, actually, she will not leave the house without hand sanitizer.
Oh, wow.
So a portable one she takes with her.
Oh, mate, if I leave the house and she doesn't have it on her, she'll make me pull into a servo or the shops and run in and she'll grab it.
Man, Ingham.
Righto, stay there. Jim's in launching place, Bill.
Jimmy!
Billy, how are you?
Good, Jimmy. What do you got?
The rule I've been telling the kids all their life, rule number one, don't eat anything bigger than your head.
Jeez. But what are you talking about there? What can you eat that's bigger
If it's bigger than your head, it won't fit in, will it?
No. I know, yeah. But people say that. Don't eat anything bigger than your head. But
you wonder, like a watermelon. You're not eating a whole watermelon.
No, that's right.
Yeah, if it's bigger than your head, put it back.
Righto, fair enough.
Fake tan. Fitted suit. Haircut. Actually, never mind that one.
Oh, good one, Dick.
Billy is getting race ready. Girl crazy about a
Carlton Draft Brewery Fresh. Break with convention at the BMW Caulfield Cup Carnival, October 14 to 21. Book tickets at mrc.racing.com.
A magnificent chariot, of course, your BMW, Bill, and they're getting right behind the Caulfield Cup Carnival. You are heading along.
That's right, Jimmy Boy. Of course, got the suit yesterday and looking magnificent in that.
Mm-hmm.
And today I just learned how to strut.
Oh,
how to strut my stuff, Jimmy Boy.
What's wrong? What's happened to you, Bill?
Well, I've got to get it all ready for the, as you said, the Caulfield Guineas, which is on. That is the Caulfield Guineas sponsored by Ladbrokes.
Yes.
That's Saturday, 14th of October. And then the Caulfield Cup, the BMW Caulfield Cup, Jim, is Saturday, 21 October.
But you used to be just a simple man with simple pleasures. Now I've seen you down in pedicure joints.
Well,
I've seen you getting elite suits. You know,
well, you've got to do all this
way
now,
beyond
Tim.
Your calling. And now,
yep.
I watched you walk down the corridor today, looking as stupid as any man's ever looked.
Well, Renee Enright, who's a star, of course.
She is a star.
We love her, Westfield stylist. She actually we got together, Jim.
Right.
Great to catch up with an old friend, and we had a chat about how I should look and walk for this upcoming races.
I am too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love, love's going to leave me.
You know what? We want you to wear the suit. We don't want the suit to wear you. It's all about posture. So how about we have a little bit of a practice?
Oh.
We want to have good posture, good balance. We want to straighten up that chest.
Boobs out.
Now you want to walk down there without dropping the book.
Oh.
Right.
Is that true?
Yes, come on.
Models doing this.
You're not a model.
I'm a model, look. And I do my...
my little turn on the catwalk.
Spin, pirouette.
Yeah, hand on the hip, maybe.
I've had a few beers and I'm feeling very confident, Rick.
Right.
What about this walk? The Conor McGregor walk.
Oh, my goodness. No.
No?
It's like something out of the zoo. We're not doing that.
Yeah, all right.
I think if you're feeling good,
looking good, feeling good,
you're
going to
be confident.
Bit
of swag.
Bit of swag.
A smile always is the best accessory, girl.
Is it?
Yep.
You haven't seen it all.
Oh,
Bill.
Renee loved it.
Come on.
Hey, you got to have swag, Jim. As you know, you've got swag.
Nice amounts of swagger.
Yeah, you got that. You have.
Yeah, but I'm not being taught how to walk, so what do you do?
I had the book on my head.
Head.
And yeah, I've seen models do it, Jim.
Yes.
And you've got to walk without the book falling off. Nice. So you have the boobs out virtually, shoulders back, boobs out, and a bit of a strut. But keep the book there. So that's what it's all about. So I've got my suit. I know how to walk now. So I tell you what, you wait till the Caulfield Guineas and the Caulfield Cup come along, Jim. Hey?
Yeah, have a look at you go.
Stand by. I'll be magnificent.
And you walk. And they just part like Moses in the Red Sea.
Grab a
through
ticket.
Goes fat.
Grab a ticket.
Where do we collect?
Exactly. Oh, a couple of Carlton drafts, Jim. Oh, brewery fresh.
Hey, you watch after that happens. Suddenly the book on the head's gone.
Then we go downhill, Jim.
At a rapid rate.
Oh, come on.
It's all about
posture.
All right, I like that, Bill.
Thank you, Reno.
Mel Hickey, very soon to join
she
us.
She knows.
Star of AFLW, and the big game's coming up on Saturday night.
It is.
Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shane Chantra's Abbott gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Holding firm right now, here's Mel Hickey. 25 out directly in front, keeps it low, stabs at it and puts it through.
Melbourne's marquee player in the AFLW last season, Bill. 2017
yep.
All-Australian star.
Australian.
Welcome, Mel.
Thank you so much.
This is big. I love this game. Last year, we were just talking about the game at Witten Oval. Dogs and the Western Bulldogs. The ratings on TV were enormous.
Huge.
But this is now the Victorian team against the Allies and the best women's footballers in the world playing this game.
Yes, true. The best of the best. So awesome to bring back the Big V. It's been a couple of years since we've been able to play for our state. So we're all really wrapped and hopefully we pack out the Etihad Stadium and get a good crowd.
Have you played a game at Etihad?
Yes, I think I've played twice now.
Right.
Yeah.
Enjoy it?
Oh, it's such a good deck compared to down at Darabin where we play in Preston. The ball definitely bounces a lot truer.
So this is the best of the best, as you said, of the girls there. And the Allies look all right too. They look pretty strong, don't they?
Yeah, the forward line's very strong there. So I'm going to have my work cut out for me, that's for
Who
sure.
Who do you get?
Maybe Brennan or Harris or Frederick Traub. There's a few down there. Randall. It's going to be a nightmare.
Because Katie's been in form, hasn't she? She's been kicking some goals for Darabin.
Yeah, I think she's kicked 20 in the last 3 weeks. So she'll be
How will
up
that
and
go
about.
If we line up on each other?
Yeah.
Just a punch in the
know.
Guts.
I can't keep up with her, so I'll have to try and hold her back.
Or just whack her or
depends.
Something.
If we're in front, I'll give a bit of lip.
Yeah,
but
good.
If we're behind, you got to bite your tongue a bit.
To go down the modern defending path, Mel, and just zone off.
Yeah, I quite like that now. You can kind of don't worry too much about where your opponent is and, hopefully read the ball a bit better than them and pick it off. And
let me ask you this. I'm blown away whenever I see this game, the All-Stars game, at the skill and the speed. It's quite extraordinary. But the other thing that I find amazing is quite often the girls do some of the most stupidly courageous things you'll ever see in a game of footy. Is that because they haven't played like the men since they're 3 or 4 and aren't aware of just how dangerous some of the things they do are?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a combo. I think we're so used to having to go and win your own ball and the ball is on the ground a lot. So we're really used to that kind of contested football. And obviously we don't kind of cover the speed that the boys do. So it is, a lot more of a contested game. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe we're just a bit more silly.
Last year, Bill, there were two or three times when girls running back with the flight on the 45.
Yeah.
I'm watching on the telly going, no, stop.
Bill was like that in his day, though.
No, not at all. I was very aware of what was around me. But, yeah, then that's been a little bit of a problem, hasn't it, with the girls' footy? I know in Geelong, a lot of the girls who haven't played for a long time or they come from another sport and they just go in too courageously and they're breaking arms and getting knocked out.
Almost an education piece that the coaches have to kind of take it back to basics that you've got to get your bum in there first, protect your head. And
that's right.
I think that's probably what I've seen with new girls coming into the game that maybe haven't known how to protect themselves first and then win the ball.
Awareness, Jim. Very important. Yeah. Hey, know who's around.
Bill. 360 I had. Hey, tell me, the ratings for the game last year were through the roof. And I think it's brilliant that it sits in the middle of this bye week for the AFL. So this will attract a huge audience on Channel 7 Live.
Yeah, Channel 7 Live and hopefully heaps at the ground as well. I mean, yeah, like we said, we've got our standalone weekend, which is great. A bit of a rest for the AFL boys. So hopefully everyone tunes in and gets their footy fix for the weekend.
So will all of the girls be in current action? I mean, I know you girls are here in Melbourne, but the Allies are flying in. Are they all mid-season?
Yeah, I think the Waffle had their grand final 2 weeks ago and the Queensland girls had theirs last weekend. So we might be the only ones still going.
So what's happening locally into finals now, are we?
Yeah, so just after this weekend, we'll start our first round of finals. So Darabin finished on top. So we've got Diamond Creek in the first final and St Kilda and Melbourne Uni play out the elimination.
Ah, righto.
Now, Melbourne's marquee player you are, of course. Are you a Dees fan in the men's game?
I must say I am now. I was always Geelong as a kid. But, there's something about once you pull on those colours, you sort of feel like you're part of the club.
So you'd be pretty flat after
the
weekend.
Oh, my goodness. We've had a run. Mm. We missed out on the grand final from percentage and then the boys have missed out as well. So... I guess you can't really do that for the last weekend of the final of the season and lose the game like that and rely on someone else.
You know that,
I was up there on Saturday night actually.
Oh yeah, down at the Cattery.
Yeah,
how good are those lights?
Oh, that ground is amazing.
Yeah, the ground, Bill,
and the lights, the whole lot you're talking about, aren't you?
Yeah,
yeah,
Mel. Feel free to be honest. It's a cold, windy dump.
No, it's not.
And it's a skinny, bloody ground where, Geelong are the only team that enjoy playing there.
Reg Hickey stands there.
Reg Hickey, we're part of the family.
Reg is a legend, of course. But lights have been at stadiums in the world now for a good 40 years, Mel, so we don't have to get too
carried away. It's a big deal for Geelong.
Yeah, it is. Did you go to a pub after it?
No, we're mid-season.
Oh, well, I could have shouted you're a frothy, because you're a...
Carlton draft, I heard before.
That's it, exactly. You're a Mildura girl. And you started the footy virtually up there. You were instrumental, I'm told.
I didn't know about that.
Yes, I'm told. Darren Flanagan told me that.
Oh, big Darren.
Big Dasher, great Geelong ruckman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess maybe some of the girls saw what I was doing and maybe that helped them maybe be inspired and see that it was easy for a girl from Mildura, so...
New licences coming in. The AFL Commission considering it as we speak. I understand there might be four new teams or at least two. And I also hear very good things about one of them being from Tassie and having the right colours on their back. Are you hearing the same thing?
I have heard that and Geelong as well. So I think they announced today the Commission wants a bit more time to consider. So. Yep. I guess Gill and his team have got a bit more work to do.
Mm. That'd be nice. Get down to Blunston Arena.
And Simmons.
It is great, though. You must be so... We had Katie. We've had lots of the girls in, Daisy. I think what happened at the start of this year with the AFLW was one of the more brilliant things. It not only now do I go and watch Glen Iris, my kids play, and there are full girls competitions and teams everywhere and girls with footy boots kicking on the side of the ground. I mean, for someone like you who's been, as Bill said, a pioneer, you must look at this and just think, how good's this?
Yeah, it's amazing. Just that groundswell. I mean, even at our local club, we've had three new teams in addition to our normal sort of three or four teams. So that's happening across the state and across the country. It's just incredible. And you go to your local park and there's girls kicking with their dad and it's just, really beautiful to
see. You know what will be interesting, Jim? The first daughter, what is it? Father-daughter.
Yes.
That will be interesting, won't it?
Exactly.
Because there's a couple, Sean Simpson's daughter.
Or Narrowhead.
Narra. She goes hard. She just rucks all day. Yeah. And Tim McGrath's girl plays down at
Luke Darcy's daughters. Also, the Duke's daughters are very, very talented young footballer.
So first father daughter will be very interesting.
Will be. I tell you the other thing, Mel, that's brilliant, and talking to a couple of the parents of the girls, is the parents are pumped Because before they used to have to try and take their son to the footy. And then someone had to split and take their daughter elsewhere. And now they go, it's just gold. We all arrive en masse and the girls play and the boys play and they can watch.
It's special. And I mean, I've played other team sports and there's just nothing like footy, the sense of community at the club and that camaraderie.
Yeah, what is it? Because we're seeing netballers and soccer players and all other sports coming across now. So what is it that it's so good about the footy?
I think it's because it's such a physical game. You do feel like you're going out there and protecting each other. And I don't know. There's just no other sport like it. It's amazing. And I think a lot of the girls probably played as kids, weren't allowed to play. Now they're coming back. So rather than us stealing people, I think they're just returning.
Stealing them all, aren't you? Really? The netballers and everything.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Best athletes. We'll make sure we're watching. It's going to be fantastic. Live on Channel 7, Saturday, 7 p.m. Etihad Stadium.
You're calling,
AFLW. State of Origin showed. I'm doing the game the night before.
Oh, sorry.
I only got one in me a week.
Well, I thought you'd do two free ones for Channel 7.
Make sure you are watching the State of Origin showdown, the Vics and the Allies with our girl here, Mel, dominating. KB as well. All our girls are involved in this. Daisy.
Mo Hope. You're...
Mo.
Yeah, but where's she? She did nothing last year. She was mighty hopeless.
That's harsh. No, she's in the team.
Is she?
Yeah.
No, we need Mo up and firing. She was very quiet last year, fair to say. And she swapped clubs too. She's not at the Saints anymore. Where'd she go to university?
I think so, yeah. But she's in the Vic side, so we'll stick it up them.
Yeah, all right, beautiful. Good work. Come on, Mo. Get a kick. Kick a few goals.
Enjoy, Mel. We'll be watching with great interest.
Thanks, boys.
Social media feedback we love here, Bill. All around the rules you live your life by.
Yes.
David, don't eat yellow snow.
What does that mean?
Yes. Steve Agraff, never say anything behind someone's back that you wouldn't say to their face.
Yeah.
Daniel Brown, I know you like that one, Bill, about the tongs.
Yes. Always give the tongs 3 testing clicks. Click, click, click before flipping your steak. I like that.
No, it's good. Stu Alexander, golden rule, acknowledge drivers who let you into traffic. Far too many people don't. Well said.
I like Greg Carroll. Yes. He's not the winner there. It's good to see JB doing a freebie. Fat wouldn't know how to spell it.
And that is very true. But our man Dan Brown, who we do like, and at Daniel Brown, at Brown 21 Daniel.
Yes.
If you can't fix it with duct tape, WD-40 or a hammer, you've got an electrical problem. I like that.
That is good.
He
well
wins.
Done, Daniel.
What does he win, please?
We've got a special edition Triple M beanie for him.
Oh, nice.
Very good, man.
Very exclusive.
New prize. Very beautiful.
Right. Very colourful.
We're going to have a look at the test match in Bangladesh as we speak. All styles of trouble for Australia. Yes, we do. We feel very good. Nice. But the Aussies, Bill, in all styles of trouble.
They
seven down.
Seven.
Still got 70 to get.
7 for 199. They need 66, the Aussies.
66, there we are.
209 overnight. And nice partnership between Warne and Smith. Took us to 158. Warner went out for 112, Jim. Well better.
I love it.
He went out for 112 LBW. But a nice innings because we all said he can't play the spin. And then Steve Smith out for 37. Hanscom 15. Wade 4. Agar 2. We lost 4 for 37, Jim. We have.
The only place in the world that the words how he went out, how'd you go out are used, Victoria.
You reckon?
Nowhere else in the world does anyone use that terminology about
he
cricket.
He went out for 112.
Yeah, no one else says that. It's a very uniquely Victorian
thing. How would you
say,
Warner?
How'd you get out? Or he got out for 112.
Got out for
Or was dismissed.
Didn't
went out. It's, as I say, very unique to this part of the world.
66 we need. And our man's in there. Maxie's still in there. He just might have to start slugging.
Holds the key now.
Yeah, he holds the key.
He is the only chance we've got. Yeah. Horrible record in Asia, Bill. Our batting, especially on the subcontinent, is appalling. Not got any better.
We've never lost a test, I don't think.
Not to Bangladesh.
No.
No, but they've got better. They're much better than they were when they first came in. And the surfaces obviously suit them much more than they used to.
Yeah.
When Big Doodle Gillespie peeled off a double century. But, Bill, it staggers me the technique or lack of it that so many of our batsmen have when they go to the subcontinent play, the fast-turning pitches that they prepare over there.
Yeah.
My time, you know, the best players of spin bowling I saw, Bill, when it really started to bounce and turn, the thing I noticed about all the elite players of spin bowling is they softened everything up. So the bat in their hands almost fell out. You know what I mean? They held the bat so softly. And Mark Waugh, a classic example. And all his arms and legs and everything just softened up.
Loose.
So that when it bounced and gripped and got in there, nothing was hard coming at the ball.
Because they, as you said before, they play at the ball too hard, which means they go at it.
Absolutely.
Instead of waiting and playing this loose.
And when the ball holds in the pitch and they go hard at it, then it's bat pad, then it's, you know, return catch to the bowler. It's all of these modes of dismissal come in that shouldn't be there. Mm. So the two things that I notice, firstly, is where they stand at, you know, at the crease.
Yes.
If you've got a right arm finger spin bowler bowling over the wicket, you should actually take off stump.
Off,
because
yes.
then you're almost taking LBW as a mode of dismissal out.
And where should you stand on the crease?
Well, then you just stand in your normal spot. You know,
should you go back a bit or not?
I don't think so, but oh. your legs either side of the crease is fine. But just move across.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because unless you're getting the one going the other way, and that's almost been outlawed out of cricket now, you know, because of the focus on the actions, then how's he going to get you out? Not getting you out LBW, and he's not getting you out bowled.
Well, Warner did that. He batted on off stump.
Better.
And he made 112.
So that's better. And then, as I say, soften. Mark
Warner. So why does the ball spin so much, Jim?
Well, because they fire it in. They bowl much quicker in the subcontinent than they do over here. If you bowl that speed over here with the true pitches we prepare, it's so easy. You turn the bat sideways.
Yes.
But over there, because the ball stays in the surface longer and does spin and bounce.
And it grips, doesn't it, on that old surface.
The crappy surface. Yeah. Then, that's why it's so much harder. But as I say, I would do... Damien Martin was another beautiful player of spin bowling in India. I would get vision of them and I'd show these young blokes and I'd say, just watch how soft everything is. They never charge hard at the ball.
But surely they could have a pitch up in Darwin or somewhere
I
there.
I think they do that.
Surely they've got a pitch that's exactly the same as Bangladesh.
I think they do that,
and they send them up there for a week and just bat in that.
Well, all I can do, which you do, is just watch the telly now.
Get
and
frustrated.
So many of our blokes, you know, their techniques are not up to it.
Hey, Jimmy boy, so good luck there. They need 66 the Aussies after lunch. Good luck. I think our man's just going to have to go whackety-whack. Speaking of our man, Lee Montagna.
Yeah, well done.
Has announced his retirement today. 287 games, 16 seasons with the Saints. He's 33, of course, and called last week for Triple M.
He did. Did a great job of that. Yeah. Well done. I reckon he's, because he played with so many superstars, he got lost in the mix a bit, which is not fair because he was actually a fine footballer, Joey Montagna.
Well, we spoke about that because two All-Australians and five best and fairest top three finishers.
But played with BJ, played with Lenny Hayes, of course, the great Nick Revolt, Dal, all of those blokes. And, you know, he slipped down the list a bit too far for mine. He was a fine player, Joey Montagna, and a ripper bloke.
And a good bloke. Yep. And had the Mad Monday the other day. He dressed up nicely. So good on you,
Maverick,
Joey.
Out of Top Gun.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. He called the game beautifully for us the other day. So there's a nice spot there for him. Good looking little boy. So he'll just move into the media nicely.
Oh, he will.
Won't take either of our gigs, but he'll move into the media nicely.
Because he's not that funny. He's a bit serious, but hey, what do you mean, good-looking little boy?
Oh, he's a good-looking boy. So therefore, on to telly he goes.
Montagna
get rid of Dal.
Actually, he's going all right, Dal.
With the Coke bottle ankles. No, he's going beautifully, Dal. No doubt about it. Going superbly.
There's plenty of boys up for the media next year, Jim.
Oh yes, there are.
You want to be
Hodgie, Rui.
The older boys want to be signed up, Jim.
Make sure they've got their deals inked.
And you'd hope that their ratings.
Yep.
Would have went up yesterday.
Yep, that's
not
it.
By probably 2 points. Like here.
Us. All right, Bill. Next, tickets
Jim.
To one of the biggest games of the season.
Hen's Teeth.
Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Now, Bill.
Yes.
This weekend,
there
are four finals. Next weekend, there are four finals. And one of them dwarfs, in my view, the other three.
Well, it's in Melbourne for starters.
And so's our show.
Yeah.
But secondly, Bill, it involves Richmond and Geelong at the Triple MCG, the Coliseum.
Yes.
100,000 it holds.
100.
This game will have very close to 100 in the house.
Tickets are selling very, very fast.
Yeah, Bill, it is extraordinary how popular this game already is.
That's right.
So therefore, if I were to tell you...
Oh, Jim.
If I were to tell you, Bill...
Don't tell me.
We've got two doubles.
Two?
four tickets.
Four?
To this game.
Wow.
To give away.
How?
What would you say to me?
I'd say, you've got to be joking.
Yes. So, Bill.
Nearly dropped it then.
So, we need to know from you, yes, the quiz master.
Well, we're going to have a quiz, Jim.
Right.
And it's going to be a rush hour quiz, which will, we got a bit of audio. Don't worry about that, Jim.
We need a Geelong fan, Richmond fan.
We need a Geelong fan and a Richmond fan. Number four is one of the great numbers at Richmond ever,
yes,
I would have thought. So, the fourth caller through, yeah, that's a Richmond
Royce
fan.
Royce Hart.
Royce Hart.
Dusty.
Dusty, exactly. And Geelong, what's been a great number?
17.
16.
Gavin Exel.
16.
Sam Newman.
Rod Blake and Charlie Gardner.
Oh, no.
And yours truly.
You picked your own number.
Well, I was going to say five, but it's too close to four. So
right.
16 and number four. But yeah,
what did Polly Farmer wear?
Polly wore five.
The great Polly.
Oh, yeah, five.
Bill, five's the best,
yeah, I
number
know,
there's ever been.
But what we want here is Geelong supporters and
yes,
Richmond supporters, because
yes, yes,
I've got four Geelong questions to ask, yes, to the Geelong supporter.
That's yes, right.
Four Richmond questions to
yes,
ask to the Richmond
nice,
supporter.
Nice.
And if they both get three, we've got a tiebreaker, which they both come in at the end.
All right, I like that.
Yeah.
Number four, number 16,
yep,
Tigers fan four.
And a Geelong supporter.
Yeah, exactly right.
Exactly.
All right, let's do the quiz next. Quizmaster.
Jimmy, look at them all ring in because we are giving away four tickets.
Four tickets.
Two doubles to see the Cats and the Tigers Friday week.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets are selling very, very fast there, Jim. So we've got our two contestants.
Caller number four, because the famous number at Richmond.
There is Josh Gay. Joshy.
Billy, how are you, mate?
Oh, you love your Tigers, buddy.
I love them to death.
Good on you, mate. Well, I've got four questions for you.
And Jace rang from Geelong, and he was caller. We bypassed number five,
yes,
which is the great Polly Farmer and the great Gary Ablett Sr.
That's it,
and
Jim.
We eventually went with number 16, one of the less significant numbers at the joint.
Yep.
Jace.
G'day. Obviously the best number.
That's right, Jace. Dawson Simpson, Charlie Gardner, Rod Blake. Righto, we're going back to Josh because I've got four
right,
Richmond questions
on
for you, Joshy.
Here we
boy.
Go.
Are you ready?
Yep.
And you've got to
I'm
get
ready
all these, there's a couple of things to this question. You've got to get it all right for 1 point.
Righto.
When
do you
was
want your opener?
Oh, we got an opener. Sorry, listen to the opener, Josh.
The finals are here.
Triple M rocks finals footy.
Tigers versus Cats.
Oh, I'll right get stuffed.
We've got your tickets. All you
yes
have to do is
battle it out. Even battle it out.
It's the Rush Hour Quiz.
I don't know yeah why I called for that, to be honest.
No.
Well done, Matty,
well
in there.
Matty.
Righto, Richmond, here we go, Josh. You ready, mate?
I'm ready.
When was your last premiership and who was captain and coach?
1980 and captain, well, I wasn't even born.
Well, just answer the bloody question. Yes, captain and coach.
No, I've gone blank no now.
Right. I'll have a go.
Have a go, Jim.
Tony Jewell, coach.
Yes.
Bruce Monteith, captain.
Who sat on the bench.
Sat on the bench for nearly the whole game.
Sat on the bench yep the whole game. Righto, question number two. Joshy boy.
Yep.
Name the last three winners of the Jack Dyer medal.
Oh, here we go.
Martin, Cochin, and Rance.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. And yep.
All right.
Not in that order, but I'll
doesn't
give you
matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Righto. Yeah. One from
didn't
two.
Didn't know the order.
Who wears number...
On. He's just giving you a little
I
clip.
I see that. I'll let it go, Josh.
Right.
Who wears number 38 for the Tigers?
38. Is it Taylor Hunt?
No, you... Steve Morris.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have it with Steve.
Who am I for the last one? I like the who am I's. Yeah, I like reading
I thought
them,
you
Jim
might, Bill.
Just
yeah
jump in at any time. I played 144 games with Richmond, and I kicked 306 goals and won the goal kicking five times, Jim.
Oh, nice.
I also captained Richmond. On Mother's Day 1991, I kicked 10 goals, one for the Tigers. Who am I?
No.
Fair dinkum, Josh, you're getting killed.
Too young.
No. You know it was, Jim?
Jeff Hogg.
Jeff Hogg. He won the goal kicking at the Tigers
yes
for 5 years.
Five times.
Josh, he's still going.
Oh, Joshy, righto. Let's go to Jace from Geelong.
Jace, come on, Jace.
Oh, Jace. Here we go. We're going back to the same question. When was the last premiership and who was captain and coach?
2011. Captain, well, coach was Chris Scott.
Yes.
And captain was Selwood, Joel Selwood.
No, No, Dopey.
Lingy.
Oh, Lingy. Oh,
jeez.
Oh. Half a point.
No points. Who were the last three winners of the Kaji Grease medal?
Dangerfield, Selwood.
No. Dangerfield, Mark Blitzavs, Joel Selwood.
Righto. Oh. Suddenly Joshy's thinking he's back in it.
Actually, Joshy was gone. He'd hung up. Who wears number 23 for the Cats?
Caddy.
No. Oh, he's at Richmond, Dopey.
Jace. Come on, Jace.
Aaron Black. He's been all right in the twos.
Too bad. Louis doesn't like him anyway.
Well, fair dinkum. Yeah, you got to get this one to tie. Well, these aren't hard questions. Wowie. Who am I? I played 92 games for the Cats and kicked 108 goals. I am originally from Tasmania. I first played with the Melbourne Football Club. When Gary Sidebottom missed the team bus, I was the replacement. Who am I? Oh, fair dinkum.
What are we looking at?
Eh?
What era?
Well, Gary Sidebottom missed the team bus out at Lara. Who took his spot?
Jeez, that was a long time ago.
Oh.
Joshy!
Don't tell me Josh.
Josh!
How's Josh won that? Hey, it was Peter Johnson, by the way.
Yeah, hey, Joshy.
Yeah.
That is one of the great Stephen Bradburys. You were gone. G-O-R-N.
I almost hung up.
Yes. Hey, Josh, you have won 4 tickets to see the Cats and the Tigers at the G next Friday. That is unbelievable, mate.
Unbelievable.
Who do you want to thank? Bill's quiz?
Yeah, thanks, Billy.
And anyone else? Triple M?
Yeah, Triple M.
Rush Hour.
That's it. You too, Jim.
That's it, Joshy
boy. Good
work.
Well done, mate.
Hey, you'll have a ball, mate. The Coliseum will be rocking 100,000, and you'll be a part of it with 3 of your mates.
Go the Tigers.
Good on you, mate. That Jeff Hogg, did you know he won 5 leading goal kickers?
No, I didn't know that.
And Peter Johnson, so he got to the Waverley that day, Jim.
Is that his son play?
No.
That's different Johnson.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. And good man, Peter Johnson. But he got to that Waverley as emergency, didn't think he was playing, hadn't heard anything. Had a chicken, a milkshake, and a couple of durries. And someone saw him up in the grandstand. Says, Jono, you're playing.
You're in.
So I had to come down and get changed. Didn't have any shoes, mate.
No.
And I don't think he didn't do much. He didn't. A $50 Maya voucher for the runner-up.
Yes, that's for Jace.
I don't know if we'll give that to Jace. I'm embarrassed, Jace.
As long as we win the main game.
Yeah, that's true. Right. If Cats win that, I'll be happy, mate.
$50 Maya voucher for you, Jace.
Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
I come from everywhere!
It's a beauty!
This is the Midweek Run.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
The Chief and Purple are in to discuss footy middle of the week. Hello, boys.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Chief, Jim and Bill.
Hey. Before we get to the footy, Chief, can we make 66 with 3 wickets in hand? Maxie, one of them?
I doubt it, Jim. However, I will say this. It's an opportunity for the coming of age of Greg Maxwell, isn't it?
Glenn Maxwell. Yeah, Glenn Maxwell, I agree. Yeah. Made 100 in India, and that was fantastic. But if he gets us over the line here,
that would be something.
Herculean.
However, I'm backing him in, Jim. I'm on him.
I suspect he'll lose partners.
Well, he's got the
and
Cummings.
Then end up having to try and smash it.
Hazelwood can bat because he hasn't played. He walked off with a side strain, but he will come in to bat if needed.
All right.
He's going to be needed.
Likely to be needed, I would have thought. Let's talk footy. No, let's get to Brad Scott today. 2-year extension, Purple, for the Kangaroos coach. How did you see that?
It'll make him an 11-year coach, and not many coaches get 11 years without the ultimate success. But clearly North Melbourne made the decision with the right intent. They obviously saw what happened this year. Back end of last year, they clearly feel he's the right man. Others may have other views. I do, for what it's worth. You know my views on it, but I don't make the decision. And well done for North for backing their man in, because to go into that season, Chief, where he would have been at the end of his contract, which would have been a ninth season, 2018, it would have been a sideshow like it was this year for Nathan Buckley. So
it would have been,
well done for them for doing it. But
I've got it in a different direction.
I would have just let him serve the year out and dealt with that sideshow.
What about you, Chief? How do you see it?
Well, it's an interesting one because they definitely went down the redevelopment role this year, didn't they? They
aggressively
played the young
reset
kids
the list.
They got as much experience and development into the kids as they could. So if you take that direction with a coach, it's then hard, you know, if next year doesn't pan out, then they're not going to be a good team next year. Then to say, oh, look, your results don't stack up. Because it's like they've committed and he's committed to rebuilding the list, so you've got to give that time to happen.
Did Collingwood make a call to Brad Scott?
I don't believe they did, Bill, but only two people really would absolutely know that. The two people being Brad Scott himself and Craig Kelly, the manager who deals with it all. There was clearly, in my take, Bill, an expression of interest from the Gold Coast Suns, but
yes,
only an expression of interest in that I don't think it was said to him, it's your job if you want it. Mm-hmm. I don't know that to be the case. That's my take on it.
Right.
So I think that has been part of the backdrop to the decision made by North Melbourne. And again, they've seen him, Jim. I mean, you got him to the club when Nathan Buckley first said no at the back of 2009, when ultimately Eddie Maguire put that plan into place with Collingwood. So you've seen him. You're close with him. You've seen enough. I know you have.
I think he's brilliant, and I think it's a very good decision. I mean, my view, Chief, with Scott, he's always been this. Four final series in the last 5 years prior to this one, of course, when they did the aggressive reset of the list. And of those four finals appearances, two of them obviously prelims, if you go back to March, you know, of those four seasons, 90% of good football analysts didn't even have North in the eight.
No.
So if you underrate the list, you've got to overrate the coach who gets the best out of them. I that's my view. So
how did you rate the list, though, at March of
better,
those years?
Better than everyone. I thought we'd play in the finals, but I didn't necessarily think we'd be prelim finalists in those 2 years. So for me, if you say, well, their list is nowhere near Hawthorns and Sydney's and all the rest of it, and fair enough, then if Brad Scott's able to get him into the second last weekend of the season, he's got to be able to coach.
Yeah.
And that's always been my view. I think he has got the best out of every team he's coached at that club, and I think it's a very good decision.
So what happens with North if they don't get Dusty or they don't get Josh Kelly, they build from within. Do they still have to pay what, 90?
Yeah, you have to pay, I think it's up to 97 and a half now. Is that
something
right?
Like
you
that.
Can smooth it out. You can advance
front end a lot of
pay
stuff.
Bill, if that makes sense. You can you can commit to paying more in a certain year, knowing that you know that's going to be freed up at some stage for a serious crack down the track, or you can do the reverse. So
what do you reckon, Bill? You reckon all the North players are hoping they don't land a big fish?
Well, mate, you'd be walking straight in there. And
if you're Benny Brown,
you just go straight in there and give me an extra 200. I'm worth it.
Hasn't he been a star?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what a great story Ben Brown is. I've looked two at least drafts.
At least two. Came into the system having already done a knee very seriously. Has not, as we keep saying, Jim, done a pre-season in the 4 years he's played. And yet, going into that Sunday, was nearly, was at that stage anyway, one goal away from being leading Coleman medalist.
As loved a player as he's on the list. He's a ripping
bloke.
He
needs some money to do the bedroom up.
With the white cat.
Nathan Dusty. Buckley, well, before we get to Dusty, let's do the coaching bit first. Yep. Nathan Buckley, Chief, were you surprised? Did you think that's what you thought was going to happen? How do you see that?
No, I think I was a bit like the sway of public opinion, whereas the first half of the season, I think we all thought he was dead and buried, but then they were a very, very competitive team, and I think they had the equal best average losing margin of any team in season 2017. So their ability to be competitive over the whole of the season, I think, speaks volumes. And it comes back to what you were saying about Brad Scott, because I don't rate the Collingwood list. So I think they've been very, very competitive with an average list, which means he must be doing something right.
How does he go forward with this list, though? Because unlike the Kangaroos, who emptied out those 1,500 games and went from the oldest list in the comp to the second youngest, so they are completely resetting, Collingwood look to me like they've got a hybrid. So how does he go with that?
Well, I suspect there'll be changes around Nathan Buckley at the club, and maybe the recruiting department will see some fresh ideas or some fresh faces, as will a couple of the other areas. That's only if you're going on what we hear, Damo. I don't think I'm saying anything that people don't expect, am I?
No, there's certainly talk in all those facets. Chief, I still expect the recruiting stuff as it is to get through the most or the upcoming trade period and draft period.
And they need to get some good kids into that team. There's some quality youngsters into that team.
All right, tell us about the Gold Coast. Purple, what are you hearing?
Just that now Mark Evans, as I think he deep down felt, Jim, from the very outset, has got the entire market to himself. And as such, there'll be candidates who are involved in finals campaigns. And being a stickler for protocol, which he tried to introduce when he was at the AFL, we're not going to get a decision, the way I read this now, until after the grand final. And as such, I still think it's going to be the usual suspects in the unproven stakes. He was a big advocate of the level 4 coaching system when he was at the AFL, and we know that he's got a significant attachment to John Barker, who he recommended to the Brisbane Lions when they replaced Justin Lepich. They went with Chris Fagan. They're happy with that call. He, at the time at the AFL, said, this is one you need to have a look at. Stuart Dew will be part of the mix too, Chief, as an absolute starting point. But there's going to be others we don't even talk about right now, Jim, I would have thought, as there has been with the Phil Walsh initial appointment, Don Pike and Luke Beveridge in recent times.
Johnny Barker, you've had first-hand dealings with him, Chief.
Good fella, Barks. Really good fella. I think he showed when he was in charge at Carlton that he was pretty capable and seemed to have his head on the right way. I think he's got a fair idea about the game. So I think he's going to be one of the front runners. But until they're actually exposed at the club and have hands on every department and start to stamp their own imprimatur on it, you don't really know, do you?
I still find it astounding that Brett Ratton and Michael Voss's names don't come up in these discussions. I find that amazing. Having had a go at it, gone back into really good systems, you'd imagine that they would be cherry ripe. Yeah, if you look at the American system, I know we do that a lot, but you look at the baseball, basketball and the NFL, so many of their coaches are in their 60s. And are brilliant. Bill Belichick, the greatest example of that. And yet we just throw people away when they're 42.
Yeah, we do.
They're almost beyond it.
And the way Michael Voss has gone away and stuck now with the one club, Port Adelaide, for a long time and made public concessions that he just was nowhere near ready when he first got the opportunity, to me it adds up to being a smart decision for a footy club. Whether it's going to be Mark Evans at the Gold Coast this time around, Jim, I'm just not so sure.
Yeah, okay. And one more thing from me on the coaching bill, and I know you want to get on to Dusty.
Dusty.
You were talking about Brad Scott potentially taking a call from Collingwood.
Yes.
I don't see that there's any issue with that purple. I reckon if you sat with Alistair Clarkson, who's the best coach in football comfortably, I reckon, and I'm not putting my neck out saying that. I reckon if you...
Maybe ever.
If you sat with Clarko, how long has he been at Hawthorn, Chief? 12 years?
2005, wasn't it?
2005 was his first year. So it might be 13 years.
Okay, 12 years. If you said
just for those interested, Maxwell Bolt, first ball after
that. Well, so that is it.
We're in trouble.
8 down, 66 still to go. If you said to Clarko, have you, lasso of truth, been spoken to by every other club in the competition in that time? I reckon he'd say yes.
I reckon he probably would.
I've been sounded out by every club in football at some stage as to whether, not here's a contract, it's much more, would you be interested if we approached you to do our job?
Yep.
And obviously every time he said no, but that's what happens.
Well, we know Melbourne did when they were initially replacing Dean Bailey with ultimately Mark Neil. They made that call then. I suspect that someone from Collingwood, and I don't know who, someone from Collingwood made that same phone call because... You can't go through a process, Jim, and either reappoint Nathan Buckley as Collingwood did or go down the path of doing something else with another candidate and then find after the event over a coffee maybe with Alistair Clarkson in December, hey, why did you call me? Yeah, you have to know the answer to that question before you go down that path.
No doubt. All right, Bill.
Dusty. Right back with the bodyguards.
The bodyguards.
The bodyguards each side of him today.
Is that a bit weird having bodyguards?
Yeah, but not much about not this hasn't been weird too.
But then he kept walking and Ralphie Carr stayed behind and said there might be a decision this week.
Mm.
And then I'm hearing it might be on the footy show, Damien.
He doesn't need bodyguards, does he, Bill?
Dusty?
Yeah.
He just looks at you.
He looks at you. Yeah, that's enough. He's been doing it for at least 5 years, just not giving any cameras anything when they're on him. I don't know the answer to that, Bill, because I haven't spoken to Eddie today, and I'd love to. I'm not avoiding or evading the question. Yeah. I have not spoken to Eddie. Only Eddie would know if that's the
Eddie
case,
would, yep.
And I haven't spoken to him today. So, I don't think it's happening, but again, I say that without knowing.
Trent Cotchin and Dusty caught up today in a cafe at South Bank.
They do that reasonably regularly.
Do you reckon Dusty might have rang and said, mate, I've got something to tell you?
I think he might have had the reason to speak to him.
Do you think he's chasing the money? Is it just because he's going to put all his eggs in this basket where he gets the money now because... Maybe when he finishes his career, he's not going to go into media or coaching.
That's what it comes down to. Yeah. And it's why, and Richmond keeps dismissing this element to it, but it is why they have gone into overdrive, Bill, about getting something in place legally that deals with his post-football career side of it. They can't commit too much to it because of the salary cap constraints around such an operation, but they are going into absolute overdrive on that front. And... again, I'd be lying if I said I knew what was going on, Bill. I still feel he's going to stay, and I haven't deviated off
that. What do you reckon, Chief? He stays or goes?
I have no idea, Bill, to be brutally honest.
Well, just get off the fence.
Well, it'd be a guess. I hope he stays.
Jim?
Well, I hope he goes.
I think he stays.
Hey, tell us about the Melbourne Demons, Chief. Such a disappointing thing, but... if they use it the right way, it can be a growth mechanism.
It can be, but I think it would have been the best growth mechanism they could have had if they had played finals and experienced that and then build upon that next year. They just showed an inconsistency of intensity when they desperately needed it. And that first quarter that they produced with finals on the line. I mean, the only thing you ever want in this game is to have destiny in your own hands. Yep. And they had that. They had that. Knowing that if you go out and you win the game against a team that is statistically ranked below you, you play finals, and they weren't able to deliver. So still a lot to learn.
That's got to be, for me, the hardest thing for Simon Goodwin and coaches to get their heads around. You, Chief, now, almost destroys me to say positive things about you, but you're a champion of the game, and one of the things was the consistency of your intensity. So you must look at players that can't produce that and shake your head. For me, that's much harder to understand than someone that can't do a Darren Jarman kick on the 45, because some blokes just aren't good enough to do that. But you can bring 100% intensity 100% of the time, surely.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? And yet it looks at times, and we've seen how many games this year where momentum has shifted and teams have just piled on 8 unanswered goals, and you think, what's happened to the intensity? Where has it gone? Look, they think so much about the game and about strategies and tactics and all those sorts of things. Sometimes there's a lot to be said for simplifying it and just going back to, well, make every contest your best and see how you go.
Well, especially when it's not there from the first bounce.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that is even harder to understand. All right, is Stevie Johnson in the best 22 for GWS? Look at old Fat. He's not saying anything down the end there.
No, want an X factor or not. That's
all right, well, we're going to ask that question to the panel next.
This is the Midweek Run.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Midweek Rub for AEG Power Tools on Triple M. You've got James Brayshaw with Billy Brownless, also Jason Dunstall and Damien Barrett.
59 to win Australia, 2 wickets in hand. Are we looking at a Michael Kasperwitz, Brett Lee style final stand, Chief?
Oh, wouldn't it be great? So
or an Alan Border, Jeff Thompson one.
Well, we haven't got AB out there. That's
what about Jim Higgs? Who was he batting with there when he... I can't remember, Chief.
I just remember Jim making naught every time he went
out
to bat.
No, but he batted.
And that's pretty true.
Yes. Hey, Stevie. He had an average of 0, didn't he, in England one year?
Stevie J, Chief. Is he? I know you were strong on this Monday night. Is he in their best 22? Does he play in their first final?
I got howled down on Monday night for suggesting I would leave him out. But I just think it's more important for GWS to get an even contribution from all their players. So I don't think they need to take a risk. For me, Stevie J's been a superb player. And look, he may just turn it on, but I want to go in with what I know in a big final, not what I'm hoping for, if that makes sense. And I think Stevie J's still got a very willing mind, but he's got a body that's unable to comply with what he wants to do. And I just think it's too big a risk.
Very interesting to have Shane Crawford in here last week.
Yeah.
He was talking about the big footy show coming up, raising $1 million and all the rest of it.
But we
asked him about Stevie Purple. And a very underrated intellect when it comes to footy, Shane Crawford.
Yeah, he very much is.
And what he said, I thought, was fantastic. And that is, much more important for GWS to defend well than attack well. Yeah. They're going to attack well anyway. And to defend well, they've got to have players who are willing to defend and able to defend.
And he doesn't give you defensive pressure, Stevie J.
Which is staggering, isn't it? Because when you talk about that component to that setup, Jim, you're talking about replacing Stevie J with a Matt DeBoer. Who has none of his tricks. And yet he could well be the key to what Leon Cameron wants to do in that
first final. Is that true? Would that be the...
Well, that was
It doesn't have to be. That's one of the options. And it might just be another runner.
Yeah.
But someone that can work both ways.
Can a player have his appendix out and play in less than 2 weeks?
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Well, we saw Eddie Betts played with 1 week off, didn't he? So this is playing with 1 week off and effectively a day or two shorter. But they need him.
Would you have done it, Chief? You played a week after you had your helmet, didn't you?
Your head ripped off.
I played 8 weeks later.
Okay.
8?
Once the surgeon cleared me, Sorry, Bill. It was out of my control.
Not very tough. Yeah, 8 weeks. Sorry, season's over.
Head caved in, Bill. If you ever put your head over the ball, it might happen to you.
Eight weeks. That's Chief at his best, Purple. Just those little ones that slide out for a contested ball.
The year's over.
Just once. Put your
when
head
did
over
you
it.
Do it? How did you actually do it?
You
because
got kicked, didn't you? You got kicked in the head.
You must have been on the lead because you.
Yeah,
you,
I took a diving yeah, mark and was rolling, and Earl Spaulding was following through, chasing, and his head, his knee hit my head.
So you weren't actually.
It was innocuous, Chief. Wasn't it?
It was innocuous. It just popped.
The big Duke of Earl.
And then he wore the helmet, Jim.
Yes, I know. Which is, I'm so glad he did. It's given us years and years of
Well, that was the only way I was allowed back into the game.
Exactly.
After Chief, 8 weeks.
Adelaide lose 2 in a row going into the finals, the best team in the comp. What's that telling you?
It's not a great form line. No. That tells me that this final series is open again. So whoever gets on a roll in September, there's a premiership waiting. But, you know, you sit there and think, who's your favourite? Who do you think can actually win it? Mm. I keep coming back to Sydney.
Yeah, they're playing the best footy.
I keep coming back to Sydney.
Can the Cats or Richmond win it, Chief and Damien? It's not out. can the Cats and Richmond win it?
I think they can both have good series, but I don't think either can win it.
Tigers have had a pretty good year when you look at it.
They have had a very good year.
And I don't know if we've rated them all year.
A very good year.
Yeah.
Have you rated them, Chief, the Tigers?
Yeah, absolutely. I said it on Couch a few weeks ago that we haven't given them the respect that they deserve, given what they've done. And then they got flogged the next week, which kind of took a little bit of wind out of my sails. But I think we've undersold how good they've been. Yeah. And the fact that everyone seems to say, oh, you've got to have a second tall forward, this, that and the other. They've used what they've got and it's worked well. And they've used pace and they've used defensive pressure from those small forwards. So why can't that stack up in finals?
Chief, I haven't heard your view for at least a fortnight anyway on Gary Ablett's situation. To me, he's done at the Gold Coast Suns. And it's just a matter of the Geelong team having its season finished. And in their case, they hope it's after a grand final. And then they'll go into that plan to get him there. The behaviour of Gary in the past 5 to 6 weeks.
It's been disappointing, I think, from a Gold Coast perspective. Given, you know, look, you can sit there and say he's given everything to the club. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. But they've certainly invested a lot in him. And in particular, this latest deal where a lot of the money was front-ended over the first 2 years and then you just take off in the third year. Mm-hmm. That, to me, doesn't sit really well. And I've got nothing against Gary. He's a lovely fellow and all those sorts of things. And you know, he desperately wants to play with Geelong. I would be, if I put myself in Gold Coast position, I'd be playing hardball.
To be brutally honest, I would sit there
and say, we either get something for him, or if he doesn't want to play, he can retire.
Yeah.
But we're not giving him to one of the opposition teams for nothing just to make our job harder. But, if he retires, they at least get the salary cap relief, and then they move on. But I wouldn't be giving him for nothing to Geelong. No way, no one would
but
I do
the
that.
Player, if you want to go, you want to go, don't you? You're going to
But you can't go if you're contracted, Bill, unless you arrange a
but
trade.
If he's made up his mind that he doesn't want to play
his threat is he'll retire if he doesn't get traded.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is if I don't get a trade, I'm saying, Gary, you can retire.
Yeah.
Interesting. All of that. All-Australian tonight, Chief. Your role within that, please. A magnificent host of the event.
Sandy's hosting. I'll just be sitting on a panel and putting my two bobs worth in every now and then.
Looking forward to
talking to one of the selectors.
Who? Spud? Spud. Oh. And Duke.
Is there any surprises we're hearing that'll make the
side? No, but I'm sure the Duke probably got a ruckman in there. I've always thought you could have an All-Australian team without a ruckman.
Well, you need one. I think you need one.
No. Why?
Who's been the best ruckman? Ryder?
Paddy Ryder, Bill.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Damien.
Cruiser had a very good year.
Cruiser did, yes.
McAvoy didn't even make the squad.
Who's captain,
Chief? Very good year.
Who's captain?
Can't tell you.
Joel?
Just wait.
Chief, I liked you as a host. I know Sandy does a very good job, but I liked you as a host.
Sandy's
a guru,
I thought
you really commanded that night.
Yeah.
Chief?
Chief. And that's what I do.
Because I attended a lot of them in those days and I loved you. I used to try and make eye contact with you.
Because they're really exciting nights.
They are an exciting night.
The players don't want to be there. Most of them are waiting to play finals and they just don't want to be there. The players have got to embrace it if they want these nights to be, you know, genuinely good, successful.
From
nights.
The floor, I used to try and engage you in eye contact, Chief.
They didn't give you much that night, Chief, did they? No, they just talked about the finals.
Didn't give much.
One year there were nine Geelong players in the
22, and eight of them couldn't talk, Bill. And I had to interview them all. Any chance of maybe some public speaking lessons down there?
No.
Some elocution lessons?
Why do you think I'm still in the media?
Some education?
Because none of those. Hey, there's eight Adelaide Crows in it. How many will actually get in the side?
He can't tell you, Bill.
It's an interesting one. Don't know.
You were wearing the brown suit, Chief?
Yeah.
Well, I liked it. And almost corduroy too. The sparks were flying off the thighs. Now, Chief.
Style's timeless, Jim.
I know. I loved it. No, well, I was your biggest fan. I was there in the room trying to say, Chief, you're flying.
And you wouldn't look at him.
And speaking of what's happening in Bangladesh, Peter Siddle in tomorrow. We can ask him about the fallout from either an incredible victory or a defeat. And also Adam Cooney ahead of the big game, the All-Star game, of course, EJ Witten Legends game on Friday night. That's coming up tomorrow. Now, Bill.
Bill, why are your fingernails painted?
It's for a very good cause. I'm getting race day ready. It's all part of a promotion here at Triple M.
For the BMW Caulfield Cup Carnival.
That's right, exactly. And the Ladbrokes Caulfield Guineas and the Carlton Draft Front Bar.
Right.
Looking after a few spots.
Rolled a few off there, Bill. All right, so maybe a joke, Kevos?
Yeah, just pad for a little bit longer.
Oh, no, he's trying to find it.
We've got to this point of the show and you don't have a joke.
Well, I've been very good in this little party. I normally have a break and find a joke.
What's Danny Frawley going to do tonight, Jeff?
Yeah, good. Well done, Danny.
Well, the selectors sit on panels as well, so I think they bring four or five of them out at a time and we have a chat about some of the selections and some of the philosophies involved in the way they've picked the team.
Yeah, what's his philosophy?
I have no idea. Well, you know Spud better than I do.
Is Is Stephen Silvani reading out one of the lines?
I don't think so.
Remember that, Jim?
You're cooking sauce? He did get one wrong. And Jim's laughing and doesn't want to say.
Big reshoot. He'll be there. Tread race.
It's one of my highlights.
Kevin Bartlett, is he still a selector?
KB is still a selector.
Nice.
Been there an eternity, hasn't he, KB?
3 feet.
We've padded enough, Bill.
Bill, have you got a Bill's joke?
I've got a joke for you. Here we go. Bang.
In the day with the laugh, this is Billy's joke. Steel mates race. Now on chainsaws, Bill. Blowers and more. Only at your local steel store.
Do you need a chainsaw, Chiefy?
No.
Not in your apartment. Still, they got the best chainsaws, Chief. What about a blower?
What about a joke?
A blower.
Bill, you're being filmed while you're making those.
I've got a little entree for you, Chiefy. Did you know the guy who invented the umbrella was going to call it the Brella? But he hesitated.
Oh, no, that can't be it.
If that's an entree, I'm not sure I'm looking forward to the main
course.
He's going to
call it the Brella. And he said, umbrella.
Warrior,
what are you doing?
What are you doing?
You're humouring him.
On your purple.
Come on, tool bag. What do we got?
Where's the joke, though, Bill?
Little Johnny's father noticed that Johnny was spending too much time playing computer games. In an effort to motivate little Johnny into focusing more attention on his schoolwork, his father said, "When Abe Lincoln was your age, he was studying books by the light of the fireplace." Little Johnny spun around, Chief, and said, "When Abe Lincoln was your age, he was President of the United States." Oh, no. Oh, Damien's gone again. Chief, not bad.
Your thoughts,
Just Chief? A little joke that I found very quickly.
Well, it's a witty retort from a child to a parent.
Yeah, a retort.
I wouldn't have thought it's a...
retort.
Witty retort.
A witty retort.
Wouldn't have thought it's a side-splitting joke.
Oh, well, you come up with one. Oh, helmet head?
It's your segment. Bullet head?
Bullet head.
I'm liking Chief today. Helmet. He's in nice like form, Chief purple. Too.
When he's like this, look at him.
And his son had a witty retort to his father.
A witty retort. Don't do the bird.
I didn't do it. That's why I put it down here, so you can't see it.
You are a...
purple, when he's given it the... And if you'd have gone anywhere near the ball, it might happen to you, John.
8 weeks. 8 weeks he didn't play ball. Little knock on the head.
That was the Rush Hour Catch-Up.
Finish up the night, Bill.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.